Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, December the 16th, 346th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, our Kansas City manager, Karen Diemer.
Good afternoon.
You got me all choked up there.
I just appreciated that you dropped the almost in front of my title.
The almost?
Last month, that was the almost saving the title. I thought that might carry for a few months. I wasn't sure.
No, I mean, you're driving the big fancy rigs and you know, you got the corporate jet now. I figure it's a done deal now. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time getting an update on what's going on. Some projects are out there. Obviously, we'll talk a little bit about the storms last week, some of the preparations that happened but weren't necessarily needed, some of the areas that were needed, and also public restrooms. Oh, boy, pitter-patter. That's as close as I'm going to get to any phrase for you at all. So we got a couple things to talk about, and we will when we come back. Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Karen Diemer. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from some French guy. Jean Cocteau.
The flame of learning is lit daily Cocteau? At St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes.
Quote,
hi, I'm David
Sharp,
president of St. Bernard's Catholic
School.
St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12542277,
gotta like that,
offers
huh?
preschool and pre-kindergarten.
We like
open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
But there is an art in that.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Or white papers prefaces or overviews or whatever the terminology is of projects. How do you guide them? What are you looking for? Do you want excruciating detail? Do you want so-so detail? Do you want the Cliff Notes version? I mean, how much detail do you look for when you're putting together or presenting some halfway complicated documents?
Yeah, usually the direction that we give to staff is to be thorough and accurate and then not a whole lot above that. You know, I mean, you want all of the information that a decision maker needs to make an informed decision. At the same time, you need to cut through a lot of the fluff for them to be able to identify the key pieces of information. Sometimes topics are complicated and they are lengthy staff reports or they are lengthy presentations. But as long as they're concise, as long as they have all of the information necessary, you know, that is at least of knowledge to you at that point, is really where I tend to decide on how much information to provide. You have a number of different audiences. So when we look at a project, we break it down. There is a ton of technical information. I like to see some of the technical information myself because a lot of it just stems from my background.
Well, you're a geek, so yeah, that would make sense, yeah. Right? I mean, you know, if that's where your passion is,
infrastructure,
you want all that
geek
stuff. Yeah.
But our citizens want to know, how is this going to affect them? Why would they, you know, why are you doing this project? How is it going to benefit our community? So the discussion is very different. And then your council or your planning commission, whoever your decision-making body is on a particular project, you know, they need a combination of both.
I would think broad strokes would probably work for most, unless you got somebody who really does want to delve into it.
Usually people are most interested in the above-ground portions. Pipes and pumps and motors that we put under
the ends of the thing, yeah. But, you know, there are some other elements or other projects, rather, that do probably have some things that people expect. Park design.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are going to be some people that want to know, are you using 2x4 Conheart Redwood or Cedar and why?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there's more of an emotional connection to certain types of projects than there are others. Do you adjust what you ask staff to do accordingly or same standard, and then if somebody wants to get into the ugly detail, you bring the wheelbarrow over and you give them the full report?
Yeah, a lot of our projects go through an enormous amount of public input. So those types of projects, like you bring up the example of a park or a playground, our community has great interest in that. And Having been coming up the ranks through Parks and Rec, I can tell you there is a kid's name on just about every single piece of equipment that is in a playground throughout Arcata, because the community is really interested. So when we're planning a project like that, then they're coming in even before the designs have started to say, you know, how do you use this park now? What amenities in this site would encourage you to use this park more? And then we have a whole kids section where we just have catalogs of play equipment, and they can circle and rip out and cut and paste and give us a big stack of these are the things that we like. And then they get to tell us what are their favorites. And as I said, there is a piece of playground out there with a lot of kids' different names on them. And if we're installing them during a time that they can still play, that's the first step of, say, this is how you engage in your community.
But they don't have that same passion about pipes?
Well, some people do. Some people are very interested. And for the few residents that we still have on septics in Arcata or throughout this community, then people get very interested in things like sewer pipes. But for the most part, the above ground stuff is what people are interested in.
Imagine that. Yeah. Does the duration of a project influence the amount of detail? I mean, if you have phases, for example, will you present it in phases? Or do you say, here's the whole thing and here's our timeline, and have the rollout stages of the phases in that?
Yeah, a community can get project fatigue. I mean, we have some projects. We have a project that will be going out to bid in the next couple of weeks. It's an extension of a road called Foster Avenue in Arcata. This has been a project that literally has been on the planning books for over 20 years. So you have to be particular about when do you engage your community from both sides of it. You know, you don't want to unnecessarily alarm people that might have real concerns about a project if it's not going to happen, but you don't, you know, at the same time, you don't want to get people really excited about a project and then not have it happen for 20 years. So, you know, the timing of when to engage the community in a meaningful conversation where you can use that input with the current set of decision makers to create a project that's going to represent the input that they gave is important.
So you're saying it all boils down to marketing. I knew that.
Timing.
Oh, yeah, okay, fine. KINS, News and Information Time is 3:19. We'll be back with more from Karen Deamer.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Karen Deamer. Karen, as you look at some of the different projects that are on the books, is there any one particular that really kind of gets you, well, and I'm talking to the gal who gets excited about pipes under dirt, that is one that the community is going to be really excited to see happen? You mentioned the Foster Avenue.
Yeah, the other one that just went out to bid this week, we had a pre-bid meeting just yesterday, is the in-town piece of the regional railway trail. So this is another project this community has been talking about for, you know, well over a decade, and that Arcata has been actively in the planning process for now over 5 years.
For those that aren't familiar, is this the Annie and Mary line, or is this the old line around the bay?
This is the through-town piece of the line around the bay, but it will go from Northtown Arcata around the skateboard park, come through town down L Street, and this phase that is funded and designed and out to bid will end at Samoa Boulevard. I think I shared with your listeners before that we have received funding for construction now from Samoa Boulevard down south to Bray Cut, and so that next trail, which we're calling Humboldt Bay Trail North, is in environmental review. So we're doing all the environmental permitting and the NEPA documents for that.
Can they do Richardson's Grove at the same time, since that's starting all over?
No. Way outside of our jurisdiction.
Oh, darn. Okay.
But we are out to bid to construct, you know, really what we have called phase one of the Railwood Trail, and it's a through-town piece, and it's actual on-the-ground trail that's going to happen. So that's, I think, a very exciting milestone for a project. When we talk about public process, this project of the Humboldt Bay Trail and the rail with trail concept in the Humboldt County, and how we are implementing the California Coastal Trail, which is a trail from, you know, the Canadian border down to the Mexican border, really, but certainly the California piece of that, is exciting for us to actually have, you know, this first phase in Arcata anyway be under construction.
So is this going to take the bikers off the highway?
Eventually.
The bicycle riders, not motorcycle bikers.
Yeah, it's going to give them an alternative that is much safer than how they're riding from Arcata to Eureka.
How wide is it?
The goal for the whole trail is a 10-foot trail with a 2-foot shoulder on both sides. So the entire footprint is 14. There are sections
so
that we
like
will
Hammond
have to...
Trail-ish?
Yeah, yeah. In the wider sections of the Hammond Trail, you're going to see it narrow down to, you know, 6-8 feet, and when you're going over bridges or going through real tight constrained areas. But really, the Class 1 standard for a separated, really non-motorized corridor for bikes is 10-foot with a 2-foot shoulder on each side. So that's the standard we're shooting for.
So how did you get that through town? Was there eminent domain involved, or was there some roadways that kind of got skinny? Well, one of the things that really still torques me off, Booner and S, for folks that are unfamiliar with the Eureka area, is right around a junior high.
Mm-hmm.
And there was problems with cars backing up, waiting to turn to take their little darlings to the junior high school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, the city, instead of claiming eminent domain or nailing a little bit, just restripe the road. You can't get two service vehicles in the same lane at the same time, even though it's striped that way. So all you've done is kind of set things up for fender benders, scratchers, pieces of automobile lying in different places, yeah, and people having urgency trying to shoot across and sometimes having some challenges associated with that.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was asking about the trail and, you know, is there enough comfortable space so that you're not forcing it, like the city of Eureka did on that intersection, to make it fit?
Most of this, I mean, we have definitely had to work with a number of private property owners. And there are, in this phase, there were three pieces, small pieces, acquisitions that the city made to complete this section over time. You know,
and an acquisition is...
a purchase of, you know, a small amount of property. We had one donation that came in for the project, and then we had two others that, you know, are appraised value that we're looking at for to buy, you know, to make this connection. On the next phase, there are another two property acquisitions based on the current alignment. You know,
remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to JUAN790.com. 1790 tocando lo que le gusta.
We have a lot of camping, and so we've had a lot of support from property owners that, you know, sometimes you get this concern about, you know, a trail in our backyard, and all the property owners that we've been talking with have expressed anyway that they see that this trail will be of value to bringing this. The in-town section is really through kind of a light industrial and commercial area, and it's an area that is now being called the Historic Creamery District, and so the Creamery District is really excited to have this trail front.
So it's the old
entrance.
Creamery.
It's the old Creamery.
Okay.
Yeah. But they are talking locally with businesses about siting businesses that could be support for the trail, you know, a little, you know, whether it's a mobile food vendor that sells, you
first
know,
aid station.
Or
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30. 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Karen Diemer. So you've got a couple of these cool projects that are out there. Are there some of the more, well, it's almost a bad pun, pedestrian projects that are getting ready to get rolling once we get through the wet season?
The railroad trail will start to construct probably April 15th.
What's involved with the construction of the trail?
Well, it's really like building a 10-foot road.
The full bed, the whole nine yards, you're just not putting an overlay?
Mm-mm. So, I mean, there's sections of it that have a lot of cut and fill, and then there's sections of it along L Street that are a little bit more of an overlay, but you're still putting in drainage and, you know, underbase. And there's, I think, 55 lights throughout. It'll be pedestrian lit because it is that through-town piece. So we think a lot of people, by 5 o'clock, you know, this time of year, there are still people coming to and from the university and to and from the high school and to and from that business community. And the hope really is that this in-town piece could be a commuter trail that people would use to make, you know, short-distance trips to work and to the store. So it will be lit, pedestrian lit. So there's a lot of electrical with this particular project as well.
So it'll have a dot, dot, dot through the middle of it?
It will have a dot, dot, dot through the middle of it. Two-way traffic.
Pullovers for slow-moving traffic. Yeah. Baby carts. So with that in place, do you suspect, do you anticipate that there's going to be a shift in the bicycle traffic, like off the plaza possibly, or some of those other areas that might be a little bit more congested now? Or do you think it's just going to take them off the roads that have got the bike lanes already allowed for and shift them on to this?
I think it'll take some of the, it'll take the through town traffic. So those that are coming, you know, from McKinleyville going all the way to Eureka, I think that piece. You're not counting on one hand. There's dozens of people that
the bicycle
that
from McKinleyville?
Yeah. Or they come and they park in Arcata and then they ride their bike to Eureka. And there are a number of people that go both ways. Or they come and park in Arcata and then they ride up to McKinleyville via the Hammond Trail. So,
independent study. Then I'll believe you.
Okay.
but there will be a shift of some sort.
There will, but the city is also working on a Bicycle Boulevard program, which basically is identifying certain routes through town that are more bike-friendly. And so we do have a north and south and an east and west route that we're working on right now with bicycle boulevards, which really is more just striping and pavement coloring. It's not huge infrastructure changes, but it's starting to designate with signage and striping that these are more bicycle-friendly areas to try to reduce congestion around other areas.
No parking on that side of the street?
In a bicycle boulevard? No,
yeah.
Sometimes there's parking.
On both sides?
Yeah. Yep. In portions of the bike boulevard, absolutely. Yeah,
I guess maybe I'm a little jaundiced, but I've seen too many where the door or the car opens up and somebody goes airborne.
Yeah.
All you need to do is see two or three of those. You know, I mean, who looks in the rearview mirror before they open up the door?
Some of us do. Those of us that bike a lot, I guess.
Yeah. Those that park on skinny streets with bike lanes right there. Yeah.
I think a lot of people do in Arcata. You know? I mean, and you brought up the situation here in Eureka and streets are getting narrower. The standards, you know, I think
they're getting narrower. We still have the bigger rigs, so it kind of seems to be at cross purposes as long as you allow on street parking.
Yeah,
if you don't, you know, if there's an alley or you know, everybody has a garage kind of thing, well, maybe
and I think it really is a paradigm shift is that we need to realize that we are in these congested areas, we need to slow down, and a lot of these. I think narrowing or still providing parking that, in essence, narrows the road is that indication of, you know, we need to slow our vehicles. Really riding through town at 55 miles an hour, wherever you are in Eureka or Arcata, is not going to get you there that much quicker than driving 25 or 30, you know. And most of the roads are probably, you know, let's say in Eureka, a lot of them are 35 miles an hour.
At least signed 35.
Yeah, yeah. And
I've always thought, you know, if you want to slow it down, you take a three-lane to a two-lane. Like they were talking about in Eureka, a couple of the meridians, and put them in maybe three or four blocks, and the trees and the, you know, and the landscaping and all the cutesy-wootsy stuff. But then I'm told, no, people will go in there, they'll cut down the tree, they'll run over it. It becomes a maintenance issue in addition to the safety, and it's too much of a hassle. It's kind of what it boiled down to instead of doing some of the you know, the bulb outs on the corners and some of those things that...
And certainly there's maintenance costs, but there is huge value in, you know, reduce fatalities and reduce serious injuries. Yes, you're still going to have car crashes. You're still going to have bumps. You're going to have a lot of fender benders. But if you can get those accidents down to 15, 20 mile an hour accidents versus 35, 40 mile an hour accidents, is your injury rates just really plummet down.
You get a new car instead of a medical bill.
Yeah, I'd much rather have the new car for sure.
Do you know why on the corners, and I think every city in the area has it now, you got the handicap little swoosh down to make it smooth. The bumps. Why are there those bumps?
Well, I think it's for the blind canes.
The big, so the yellow, really, that's what it's for, visually challenged folks.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in the region.
So you have to push your cart over. You break all the eggs and you have to go back in. That's what I think it's all about. Not sure, huh? KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:42. We'll be back with more from Karen Deemer. Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Karen Deemer. Karen, as you look at some of the different things that are out there, you know, we kind of giggled a little bit in the intro that the restrooms are now open in Arcata.
Yeah. So there's another project that was, you know, I'd say 20 years in the making, but has actually come to fruition, and we do have a downtown public restroom that's open 24 hours a day, and it's free of use. We kind of joke, it looks like a time capsule, so we're not quite sure if you really come out the same as when you went in, but I think our new motto in Arcata, because this project did have a lot of controversy over the years as to whether or not it would be taken care of, whether or not we talk about increased maintenance costs, how much would those increased maintenance costs be, how often would it have to be serviced, and so we've sort of started with the mantra of, you know, Arcata has forever flushed with pride because of our sustainable wetland treatment system that creates the Marshall Wildlife Sanctuary.
You're going to work it in, aren't you?
I am. Okay, and so our new mantra is to flush with pride and respect, to really honor the hard work.
What does that mean? You genuflect also?
Yeah. I'm not making up complete new words. But so far, we've had it's only been a week, but we've had good success with the downtown restroom.
I know some of the transit stations, I guess is what they're called, the benches, if you will, that there are some designs that are out there that are probably short of a nuclear attack, indestructible. Is this one of those so that the defacement won't happen and somebody going in there and doing something goofy can't break it?
Well, time's going to tell. This was designed in Portland. It's actually called the Portland Loo. The city of Portland is now marketing them as their own patent design. And it was designed through, you know, a series of trials and errors, you know, in a population, I think, fairly similar to the North Coast. You know, our climate, our rainfall, a lot of our issues. And so we'll see.
You're getting good at your vocabulary. Yes, our issues.
So it's supposed to be fairly indestructible.
And just hose it down once or twice a day kind of thing?
Yeah, but But more so, it really is trying to figure a way to communicate with your community that this is something that we have to care for. It was a $100,000 public restroom. That's a huge investment for a community the size of Arcata to make. And so we do need to respect it. We do need to take care of it. I mean, it is important. There are a number of people, and it is, has a visual. We can see it right outside of City Hall. So I will tell you that.
Well, now that's apropos.
Yeah. There are a lot of people that, you know, are downtown shopping that are coming over to use that restroom. And
well, that's kind of what it's designed for,
isn't it? That's exactly what it's designed for. And it is being used, you know, for that purpose. And we need to continue to respect that.
So how did the city determine it was necessary? And then how many? Was that a financial thing? Was there a study done? You just kind of ask folks? I mean, that's out of the normal range of what a lot of cities will do.
Well, there are a lot of cities. I mean, even locally, both Eureka and Ferndale have downtown public restrooms. I mean, this was born out of a community concern. A lot of people that were shopping, whether it with kids or, you know, staying in the downtown for a period of time, going to a number of different places that were looking for downtown restrooms. A lot of the local businesses had shared restrooms in those old buildings, which I think, you know, similar to most of our communities. And so when they start to experience vandalism, they quickly close it. They can't control whose clients it might be. And so it became more and more difficult, and we wanted to try to pool those resources and have one public restroom.
Is there any hopes to have another?
We originally looked at a number of different locations. We narrowed down to try to start with one. There was a lot of discussion of probably needing at least two, one on either side of the plaza. One of the goals originally, there was a small subcommittee that got together and worked on this, and one of their criteria is they really wanted it within less than one block from the plaza. You know, we do have restrooms
running distance
that are, yeah, that are two or three blocks away, but what we found was that people weren't using those. They really needed something in very close proximity. So far, our first week's been successful.
I won't ask how you're going to judge success.
Well, we have a flush counter, so I can start reporting.
Oh, boy. Yeah, just like a traffic counter, huh? Yeah. Only more. Oh, boy. So is there any consideration of a second one down the road if this works as well as everybody's hoping?
You know, I have no idea. I think it'll take us a good year to see, is this really fulfilling the critical need that was being expressed by the community, or do they continue to have the need for another one? We're not seeing a line outside. You know,
right, or I was wondering if it's cleaning up some of the stuff that some of the merchants experience.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's really going to take us a few months to get a sense of, you know, just how often and how much it's used. But we could talk about great ideas for holiday gifting at the last minute of the holidays here if you'd like.
That would be anywhere in Arcata. Thanks for coming by, Karen. We've been talking shop with Karen Deemer. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.